This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It's my first time here in Australia. We live in these Western lands, whether it's Europe, whether it's Australia, New Zealand, America, North America, Canada. One of the greatest tests and one of the greatest challenges that we face in all these Western non-Muslim countries is the issue and the challenge and the question of our children and our progeny and our next generation. It's a really, really important challenge, a really important issue that faces all of us, whether we are older parents, whether we are younger parents, and even if we are not yet married, then sooner or later, hopefully, inshallah, I mean, nowadays some people don't want to get married as well, so, but that's why I have to say, hopefully, inshallah, you will get married and you will, inshallah, get some children. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But this is a great test. And the test is getting greater and becoming greater, and it's becoming more of a challenge. We have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran not just to protect ourselves and protect our own Islamic identity, rather protect the Islamic identity of our progeny, our offspring, and our children. The Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. And another verse, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. You know, there's an amazing thing between these two verses. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. O you who believe, don't worry about everybody else. Don't concern yourself about the whole world, that this person's become bad and that person's become bad and this government is corrupt and that government is corrupt and the Muslims have become bad in Sydney or in Melbourne, or people have become corrupt, or the politicians are bad, or that, you know, community is bad, and there's so much, you know, these people doing this and people doing that. Don't worry about everybody else. Alaykum anfusakum. Worry about your own self. And this is where self-reformation is where it starts from, Islah. Sadly, what happens in today's climate is that, especially on, you know, in the internet world and social media, etc., people are always criticizing others. Everyone else is bad in the world. Everyone else on planet Earth is bad, or there's a corruption, or there's sin, or there's evil, or there's something wrong, or except my own self. Every single person thinks about how other people should be reformed, how other people should become better Muslims, but they never worry about themselves. And this is what this verse of the Quran is telling us. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu alaykum anfusakum. O you who believe, take care of your own self. Anfusakum, anfusakum. Which means, the same anfusakum is coming in the second verse. Alaykum anfusakum. La yadurrukum man dalla idha tadaytum. If you are guided, if you come onto the right path, if you correct your own self, if you become a good person, if you become a good Muslim, then the deviation, the dalala, the strayness or the deviation of those who are deviated will not harm you, don't worry. You won't be questioned about A, B, C, D, everyone else on planet Earth, why they were doing wrong. This is the basic meaning of the verse. Of course, there's more commentary to it as well. And there is this concept in Islam of Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahi anil Munkar, and there's details. But the first step is alaykum anfusakum. If we are worrying about the whole world, and we are worrying about the rest of the people except our own selves, then that is a great crime and a calamity. That's a great crime and a calamity. That's why there's a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he said, "Man qala halaka an-nas fa huwa ahlakuhum." The one who says everyone else is destroyed, fa huwa ahlakuhum. He is the most destroyed amongst them. And this will happen sometimes. We just keep on worrying about other people. طوبى لمن شغله عيوبه عن عيوب الناس. How admirable is the person who is busy with his own faults, engaged with looking at his own faults, has no time to look at the faults of other people. So this verse is telling us, عليكم أنفسكم. Look after your own self. The other verse, يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم. Allah added أهليكم here. O you who believe, قو is from the word, you know, وقاية. Protect yourself, protect. أنفسكم, same thing, yourself. Protect your own self. But then Allah said, وَأَهْلِيكُمْ. Here He added وَأَهْلِيكُمْ, because you and your family, أَهْل means your family, and specifically your progeny, because that's part of you. There's a hadith in Al-Bukhari where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to a companion, it was a long story, but he said, أَنْتَ وَمَالُكَ لِأَبِيكَ. You belong to your dad and your wealth belongs to your dad. You're one. This is why, you know, the fiqh ruling, you can't give zakat to your own children. Why? Because you're one. You share everything. You can't give zakat to your parents. So this verse is saying, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ. Protect yourself and your family, your progeny, your children, your daughters, your sons, from naran, punishment of the hellfire. May Allah protect us all. The responsibility is not to just, first of all, it's ourselves, but then it doesn't stop there. That's half of the responsibility. If we are coming for salah, if the parents are coming for salah, if they're offering prayers, if they are on the right path, if they are, you know, on the correct path, but the children have gone off track, the children have maybe even left Islam, maybe have left Islam altogether, who knows? In some of the communities, there are examples where the parents, the father, the mother, the parents are practicing Muslims. They're in the first, the father is in the first safa of the masjid and really heavily involved with the masjid and Islamic issues, and the child has, or the son or the daughter has left Islam altogether. May Allah protect us. So this ayah is saying, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Protect yourself and your children. The responsibility is to make sure that we protect the iman, we protect the identity, the Islamic identity of our children. And that is a really massive, great challenge of this time. It starts from a young age. This is why, you know, when a child is born, alhamdulillah, we get so happy and we give glad tidings. Barakallahu lak fil mawhub, and alhamdulillah, and we have massive banquets, which we should have, not a problem. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. But then what do? Straight away we give the adhan and the iqama in the ear of the newborn. What does that mean? That is instilling into the mind and the heart of this newborn child, as soon as they are born, iman, shahada, tawheed, risala. That's the concept. Before we come into this world, we've already done alastu bi rabbikum. Allah said, well, you know, He asked us before, even though we don't remember, am I not your Lord? قَالُوا بَلَا شَهِدْنَا. And then as soon as we come into this world, adhan and iqama. Why? Instilling into the heart and into the mind of the child, the newborn, from a young age, iman and tawheed and shahada and risala, etc. From then on, it starts the responsibility of protecting the Islamic identity, protecting the iman that we try to instill at birth. At birth, we said shahada, we said the adhan, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, into the ears. And then we leave them and they leave the path of Islam. It doesn't make sense. That's what we did in the beginning. Then we need to give them time. And we need to protect the identity and the good proper Islamic tarbiyah and upbringing. So this is one of the greatest challenges, especially in these Western lands and these Western countries and non-Muslim countries. And this is why many of our early scholars and even current scholars said that in order for Muslims to live in these countries, it's permissible. Some said it's not, but the main opinion, it is permissible, but there is a strong condition provided. The shart, the condition is that a person is sure and certain and confident that he or she will able to protect their own iman and Islamic identity and the iman and the Islamic identity of their own children. That's the condition. If someone is not confident on that, then they need to move. وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُ الْمَوْتِ. Whoever leaves their home, muhajiran, making hijrah. There's no hijrah from a place to another, but ilallahi wa rasuli, towards Allah and His Messenger, meaning leaving a place or a life of sin where they are not able to protect their basic iman and identity. Being a good Muslim, being a good human being. And this starts with, first of all, how much time do we have? Starts with being a good role model ourselves as parents. A lot of the times parents are really worried and concerned about their children. Sometimes they are only worried and concerned about obedience. That's being selfish. We have this in the UK sometimes, you know, the parents come to the teachers, Islamic teachers, and they're just troubling at home, they're disobeying, you know, they're swearing at their mother and swearing at the father and please. What about the Fajr Salah? They're not worried about Fajr, they're not worried about their five-time prayers. Just make sure that this son of mine does not swear and chat back and be disrespectful to the mother and father. That's the only Islamic aspect for some people. And then when their children are being disobedient, when they are disrespectful, they know all the verses. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Your Lord decrees, worship none except Him. And be righteous to your parents. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Some parents only know the verses of the Quran and hadiths that talk about the rights of mother and father. Ummak, your mother will remind you. Ummak, ummak, ummak. ثُمَّ أَبَاك, your mother, your mother, your mother. These are all there, of course. But there are also many verses and there are also many hadiths that talk about the rights of children. It's not one-way street. Like husband-wife, it's not only husband, it's not only wife. Every relationship in Islam is a two-way street. And if parents don't do their role and job, when they, you know, decided to get married, when they decided to have children, and then they decided to say the shahada, not decided, they had to say the shahada, and this was the guidance given to them, the adhan and iqama. But then after that, they neglected. There was no time for the children. Or they were not good role models themselves. Then there's no one to blame except our own selves if the children leave the path of Islam. That's why the Quran says so many places, like Allah said, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Command your children to offer salah, but you yourself be steadfast. And I was saying in a talk yesterday in Sydney that one of the most effective ways of tarbiyah is basically being a good role model. 80% of tarbiyah job is done by being a good role model. 80%. You don't really have to do much. If a child sees in his home, parents, time of salah, they go and perform wudu, they pray, they are making dua to Allah, they are begging Allah, they are performing tahajjud, they are reciting the book of Allah, they are reading seerah, they do tilawah of the Quran recitation constantly at home. They see how they converse, they see how they talk, how their relationship is with their family members. They see their father, mother, how their friendship relationship is with the neighbors, with their own brothers and sisters and siblings. If they see their parents fighting all the time, then they'll think that's the norm. Fighting is norm. Yeah, my parents do that. So that's what we do. We fight. We always argue. We swear. Now, if the father is saying, don't swear, swearing is bad, but then the child hears the father swearing, then it's being hypocritical. That's what the child, they might not say anything, but that's what they think. You know, the father is saying, he's got a massive cigar in his mouth. Don't smoke, it's bad. Don't smoke. So what's the child going to think? You're smoking. Well, I can do it, you can't do it. So this, you know, they look at all these things. If we, for example, we are at home and someone comes to our house and we don't want to meet them, can you go and tell daddy's not at home? So the son will go and open the door. Assalamu alaikum, my daddy just told me he's not at home. They will see that this is lying, and then if they are lying, and then we say to them, lying is bad for you, then they've got a role model which lies. Even though we might take it lightly, but it's not lightly. So these kind of things, being a good role model, and also giving them time. I know time is short and time is limited, and we are very busy, and we have commercial activities, and we have a lot of things to do. But honestly, for the sake of Allah, we must give quality time to our children, to our family. Even in these busy times that we have, at least one meal a day, the family should have one meal a day together, where the husband and the wife and the children are eating and talking and conversing, and everyone's gadget Smartphone, not so smartphone. Mobile phone should be put away, switched off. No gadget. There should at least be a gadget-free zone at home. 2 hours at least minimum. This is a gadget-free zone where the father is the first role model. My phone switched off on top of the table. Mother, no more WhatsApping with all your, you know, everyone. You know. Yes, when you cook your food, keep on talking to all your friends, but now put it away. Full attention. Give each other attention. Talk to one another. Converse like we used to do back in the day. Some of our, you know, elder brothers will tell us how back in the day people used to actually talk. Now no one talks. At home, everyone, I don't know why people love the people in the phone more than the people that are in front of them. What's happened to the humanity? Why do we like and find people in this phone more interesting than physical people in front of us? There is a reason. There is a reason why. That's another topic. It's sad. Because we find the people in front of us more challenging, more irritating. These people, you know how some people, they like animals more than human beings. They like dogs more than children because it's easy to deal with dogs. They listen to you. It's very easy. There's no challenge. Likewise, people in the phone, there's no challenge. You know, if you don't like what they say, switch off. Go on, finish. This person's in front of you, dealing with people on a day-to-day basis. It's difficult. And this is the whole mu'ashara situation. So having conversation, giving them time, being involved in their tarbiyah, being involved in what they do in their day-to-day life, share quality time with them. This is really important. This is even, I'm not even talking about, you know, teaching them about Islam and all of that. That comes afterwards. This is right in the beginning. Even if you share time with them, going playing sports with them, not a problem. This is, parents, go and have a game with them. Go to the park and sit and have a, I don't know if you say football or soccer here, we say football. But play whatever you want to play. Play games at home. This is a family game. Mother, father, son, daughter, everyone. Today's a game time. Everyone plays together. This is also, if you do it with the right intention, inshallah, you get rewarded. If you make the right intention, there's reward in this as well. And then making sure, finally, to give them good Islamic knowledge and Islamic, if as much as we can. Not everyone can memorize the Quran, and not everyone can, you know, learn advanced Islamic knowledge, but basic Quran recitation. We ourselves should know how to recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but our children, basic recitation of the book of Allah, basic hadiths, basic fiqh, basic Islamic teaching, education, and also ensuring that if they are acquiring secular education, then secular education must be in an Islamic environment. And that is a whole chapter and topic on its own, which we don't have time to talk for in a Jum'ah talk, where we have massive challenges. People have left, people have, they've lost their children in those environments, lost them completely. From all angles, and you can understand what I'm talking about, religiously and from all angles. Where we have these examples of children, our Muslim, from Muslim families, children coming home and someone's a boy has become a girl, and someone's girl who thinks he's a boy, and there's someone who thinks he's a kangaroo, and all sorts. We had in the UK, just in the news the other week, that there was a boy who came to the school dressed as a cat. And the teacher was asking questions and he was saying, meow, meow. So the teacher said, why? He said, look, I feel, like you just, we were told yesterday, you know, how you feel, you are, I feel I'm a cat, and that's it, I'm a cat. And if you say that I can't say meow, I'm going to report you, you know, this is harassment or this is, you know, discrimination. This is where the world is going to. It's all sorts. Just basic, protecting their basic humanity, basic common sense, which used to be common. Which is not no longer common anymore. It used to be common sense. This is a challenge. These challenges were not there for our forefathers and our grandparents and our great-grandparents. They had challenges, but not these challenges. These are huge challenges. And if we do not make sure that we are on top of this, then we will lose our next generation. May Allah protect us. So this is just the message, to make sure that we are involved with our next generation and with our children, and we are, you know, active in preserving the iman and the Islam and the good upbringing and tarbiyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability and tawfiq. and make our children the coolness of our eyes. We should always recite, just to end, there's a dua in the Quran. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. It's a beautiful dua. O Allah, grant us from our spouses, make our spouses and our children the coolness of our eyes, and make us the leaders of God-fearing people, meaning make our children God-fearing. After every salah, if you can, or whenever you can, as much as you can, it's a beautiful dua. May Allah make us practice. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله.